with the milk and the meat and the manna. And it's so wonderful whenever we can to gather together as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and to sit at your feet, Lord, and to receive from your word the milk, the meat, and the manna. And so tonight, with open Bibles, may we remember to open our ears and open our heart, because sometimes our hearts can be closed to your word, and it's up to us to exercise our free will to open our ears and our heart to receive what you have for your church tonight. So have your way. Teach us. Lead us and guide us in all truth. We love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us so much that you give us this incredible love letter called the Bible. And so tonight, have your way. We love you. We praise you. We thank you in advance for what you're going to do. May we not only be hearers of your word tonight, but it's important that we put shoe leather on what we hear, that we walk it out. And so tonight, we thank you, Lord, for just this midweek meal and this time of fellowship together. Bless those that are watching online tonight as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, tonight we have in chapters 12 and 13, it's entitled, A House Divided. Back in chapter 11, if you were with us 2 weeks ago, God had told his son Solomon that because of his sin of multiplying wives, of intermarrying with foreign women, unbelievers, pagans, as he was worshiping pagan gods. The amazing thing is that he worshiped the Lord in spirit and in truth before he started dabbling in the world. But once he started dabbling in the world with unbelieving women, pagan women, they drew his heart away. And so now we find him worshiping pagan gods, building high places for pagan worship, burning incense, sacrificing to false gods, all of which turned his heart away from the Lord his God. Those are the things we're still tempted with today. We need to be very, very careful. Those things that tempt our hearts. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And so his heart was turned away. And it began with the word of God. And that he would surely tear the kingdom away from him and give it to Solomon's servant. But he would not do this until Solomon had died. God had told him that the kingdom would not be torn from his hands until he passed away, until he died. And then his servant, Jeroboam, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and when he closed chapter 11 in verse 43, Solomon rested with his fathers and had been buried in the city of David, his father, which is in Jerusalem. You know, we look at the life of Solomon, how God had blessed him incredibly. God told him, anything you want, Solomon, I'll give you. And man, there's so many things in this world who the people would want if God would ask them that question. If God asked you that question, if he said he would give you anything in the world, what would you ask for? And you know what? Solomon asked for the right thing. He asked for wisdom and knowledge to guide God's people. And he did it faithfully until all of a sudden he began to surround himself with things that God warned about. One of those was foreign women. And he took for himself an unbelieving wife initially, which led to 700 wives and 300 mistresses or concubines. The world, the flesh, and the devil had drawn his heart away from the Lord. And how many times have you heard me say, it all depends on how we finish the race. Yes, we're going to have difficulties along the way. We're going to be stumbling at times. We're going to be tripping and falling at times. But the all important thing is to keep our eyes on the finish line, to keep our eyes on the prize and finish well. And how sad for Solomon that all that he had in this world, he didn't finish well. How sad. But you know what? That should be a lesson to all of us. What is your heart's desire? the things of this world, materialism, money, pride, education, all of these things, so you can be puffed up and proud and gratify your flesh. Our heart's desire should be the ability to draw closer and closer and closer to the Lord. Because if we have our priorities right, God will provide all of your needs. Notice I didn't say wants. He will provide all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Unlimited supply of blessings and riches that God wants to give to his children. But oftentimes the things of this world can draw our hearts away. That's what I love about the Old Testament. God shows us what happens when we chase after things, inanimate objects, the world, the flesh, gratifying our flesh. And look what's going on in the world today. And so when we close chapter 11 in verse 43, Solomon rested with his fathers and had been buried in the city of David, his father, which is Jerusalem. Exodus 20 verse 5 tells us, it speaks of the sons of the fathers visiting upon their children to the third, the sins of the fathers visiting upon the children to the third and fourth generation. And what an example we see of this happening in chapters 12 and 13. There are many things we pass on to our children as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents. The one thing, the one desire in my heart for my kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, is that I would pass on Jesus Christ to them before I leave. That's the bottom line. It's not all about wealth. It's not all about riches. It's not all about earthly possessions. It's about being possessed by the person of the Holy Spirit, having a personal relationship with the Lord. And poor Solomon crashed and burned. He had everything that the world had to offer. Just incredible things. As a matter of fact, tithing for Solomon was $97,000 a month. They would bring in $97,000 a month worth of gold to him. And he still wasn't satisfied. Read the book of Ecclesiastes when you get a chance. All of the things that he went after. And you know what his final conclusion was? Vanity, vanity. All is vanity. It's like grasping after the wind. What we should really, truly grasp after is Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. Because once we get the vertical right, it is amazing how the horizontal takes care of itself. But if you're seeking that which is horizontal, you're going to miss on the vertical in your life. And I think it's so important to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that all these things would be added unto us. And so here in chapters 12 and 13, after the death of the richest man that ever lived on the face of the earth, Solomon, the nation begins to crumble. Watch this, verses 1 to 11 in 1 Kings chapter 12. And Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son, went to Shechem, for all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, depart for 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam, which is Solomon's son, consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? And what do these guys do? They give him good, solid, wise counsel because they were Solomon's elders. And the Bible tells us that Solomon had more wisdom, more godly wisdom than any other man that walked the planet, but he didn't use it. And so here's his elders, and His son, King Rehoboam, seeks wisdom and seeks guidance and seeks counseling from these men. And look what they tell him. He consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived, and he said, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they spoke to him, saying, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." Notice, but he rejected the advice which the elders had given him. And he consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, "What advice do you give? How should we answer the people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the yoke which your father has put on us'?" Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "Thus you should speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges.'" Whoa. Some pretty heavy stuff here. Rehoboam initially does the right thing, like his father Solomon. He sought wise counsel. Because of Solomon's idolatrous sin and his turning his back on God, not seeking godly counsel, he had put the people under a heavy yoke of bondage. And that's exactly what ungodly leadership will do to a nation of people. It puts a heavy yoke upon them. But a nation that follows the Lord, which America was established on the Bible, on Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, a Christian nation, one nation under God, it says in the White House, it says on our currency, it says all over America. And when we put the Lord first, it is amazing the blessings that come from him. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." But unfortunately, because of Solomon's idolatrous sin and his turning his back on God and seeking ungodly counsel, he had put the people under a heavy yoke. That's what's happening in America today. Because we've turned our back on God, because we are not following the word of God, this nation was established on the Holy Scriptures. That's why many places in Washington, D.C., if you've ever gone to Washington, D.C., man, we went with a guy that was the most knowledgeable Christian historian in America. And he took us through all of the places that had scriptures. There's monuments, there's statues, there's plaques, there's so many places in Washington, D.C. with the Word of God. But you wouldn't know it with what you see on television and what you hear coming out of Washington, D.C. This nation was established on the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, look what we've done. We're calling good evil and evil good. Does that sound familiar to you? When people call good evil and evil good, it's right out of First Timothy, where the Bible tells us that in the last days, just before the return of Jesus Christ, the people will call good evil and evil good. Look what we're doing in America today. That which is good, we're calling evil, and that which is evil, we're calling good. I'm not going to lay out a list of things, but look at the laws we've changed and perverted. Calling good evil and evil good. And guess what? The yoke is getting heavier on America every single day. And one day, God's going to say, "The yoke's on you." And it's because of the choices that we have made. You can't blame God. God makes it very clear what he desires in our lives. Rehoboam seeks counsel from two different groups. His father's elders, who served with Solomon, godly men filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the knowledge of God's word. And secondly, he contacts or seeks counsel from the young men that he grew up with. worldly men, ungodly men. His father's elders gave him godly counsel, as we see here in this first section. Even though he should have gone, you know, to be a servant to the people, a public servant, that's what the term public servant means. It means that those in office should serve the public. That's why they are in office today. How sad it is in America today, people are self-servient. Many of them are getting wealthy, serving in high places and high positions in America today. His father's elders gave him godly counsel, and they told him that he was to be a servant to the people, a public servant. Serve them. Answer them, he says. Speak good words to them, and they will be your servants forever. That's godly wisdom. If you are in a leadership position, you look at what God's word says. If you're in a leadership position, you're not supposed to be up here. You're supposed to be down here. Jesus said, the greatest in the kingdom is a servant of all. And who was the greatest servant to ever walk this planet? Jesus Christ was the greatest servant to ever walk this planet. There he is, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, second part of the Trinity. And what does he do? He bows himself down to the ground and washes people's filthy feet. We see over and over and over how he humbled himself before the people, even those that he knew in his omniscience that would betray him one day and nail him to a tree on Mount Calvary. He came to serve the people. And oh, how times have changed. Do we have public servants in America? I'm not going to go off on that rabbit trail. But how sad it is, it's all about them and not all about the people. You know, it's really sad about him going and seeking wisdom from the elders of his father is that he rejected their advice. And we see here the second group he goes to, all his buds. And so what does he do? He consults his buddies. And you know what? You've heard me say this a million times. There is no place for the buddy system in leadership. I love all my brothers and sisters in Christ. I have a lot of friends in ministry, but you don't get appointed to a position in ministry by being my bud. You have to meet the qualifications of what God's word says through the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again, knowledge of the word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, and men and women of prayer to be in any position in this fellowship of believers. We don't just fill slots. Because God makes it very clear the qualifications for someone to be in a servant's position. But how sad it is here that we see he didn't follow God's advice. And guess what? They gave him ungodly counsel. And they will make his yoke heavier. They will add to his heavy burden. And we're going to see, as we see here, instead of whips, he's going to beat them with scourges. How sad. What does Rehoboam do? He actually receives the ungodly counsel and appoints ungodly men to positions of leadership. We don't just fill slots here. I learned years and years and years ago from Pastor Chuck Smith and Pastor Raul Reese and those that I served under, you don't just fill slots with people. Everybody who serves in ministry must meet the qualifications of being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, no matter what you do. Sweeping floors, washing windows, cleaning the restrooms, whatever it might be. In order to serve the Lord, you need to know the Lord. You need to have a personal relationship with him. It's not the buddy system. It's not about who tithes. It's not about who does this or who does that. I don't even look at what people tithe. Why? Because if you look at the people's tithing records, you'll get stumbled many different ways, you know? And it's not about how much you give monetarily. It's how much of you give that you give of your life. And the first thing you need to do is give your life to Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. You need to be a member of the family of God before you can serve the family of God. Very simple. And I was so grateful that I was taught that early in ministry by Pastor Raul Reese. It was back in West Covina then. Now it's Diamond Bar. And we're going to see in a moment. This is going to split the kingdom. And Israel, tragically, will be a house divided. And we know what Scripture says about a house divided. A house divided cannot stand, be it in the church or be it in your own home. A house divided cannot stand. It's coming down. Judah and Benjamin in the south will remain with Solomon's son Rehoboam, and the other 10 tribes will follow after Jeroboam. We got a lot of Boams tonight. Hope I can keep them straight. Solomon's son is Rehoboam, and the other guy is Jeroboam. So hopefully I can keep these Boams in line here. Each kingdom will experience the disastrous consequences, though, of following evil kings. Both of them were evil. And so look at verse 12 to 19. And so Jeroboam, who is the servant, and all the people came to Rehoboam, who is the son of Solomon, the third day, as the king had directed, saying, "Come back to me the third day." And the king answered the people roughly and rejected the advice which the elders had given him, Hasad. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges." Man, how sad. And so the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And so here we see, notice, when all Israel saw the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, "What share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see your own house, O David." And so Israel departed to their tents, and Rehoboam, who is Solomon's son, reigned over the children of Israel who dwell in the cities of Judah, southern kingdom. And the king Rehoboam sent, then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenue, but all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. Wow. Here we have evidence that godly wisdom is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what God's word says. And that ungodly wisdom destroys. And we can see now in both instances with Rehoboam and Jeroboam, both of them were using ungodly wisdom, and it's going to destroy what was established in the kingdom of Israel. One would think that we would have learned by now in America from reading God's word, that when we follow God's word, when we obey God's word, when we love the Lord God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that he blesses our nation incredibly. And all over our currency for decades, for hundreds of years now, we have had written "One Nation Under God." Unfortunately, it's on our currency, but not in our hearts. And if we are not one nation under God, we are going to just be one nation under one day. And you know what, folks? I think the ship is starting to sink. Look around, what's going on. Things that I've never seen in my lifetime are happening today. When I first got saved 40 years ago, it was like I was reading future things and prophecy and all. But guess what? I read God's word today, and we are there. We're there, folks. And as I say many times, don't buy green bananas. You might not see them get ripe. We're that close. We're close to the return of Jesus Christ. And here, we have evidence that godly wisdom is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we teach God's word here, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We don't do cutesy little programs on Sundays or on Wednesday nights. I will stand before the Lord God one day and have to give an account for what I did as the pastor of this fellowship. Jesus said, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Folks, sheep food. You always make sure that you get an hour of God's word. It's not that I'm such a great teacher. I'm not. I'm just a mouthpiece. Because one of my favorite stories in Scripture is where God speaks through a jackass. And God still speaks through jackasses today. You know? It's up to us to listen. Are you hearing what God has to say? Or do you think the Old Testament's outdated? There are pastors today that have thrown the Old Testament out of their church. Are you kidding me? Every word of God is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Every cross T, every dotted I, every yacht tittle is God's word. And that's what we go through the whole book. And when I hit the maps, we start all over again. I think it's so important that when we gather together, that we open God's word and open our hearts and receive what God has in his word through the power of the Holy Spirit so that God can direct us and lead us and guide us and correct us. Ungodly wisdom destroys. The Bible has a warning, a very serious warning about taking away from God's word or adding to God's word. We don't mess with God's word. Why would you want to? God's word is what changes our lives. This is real soul food we got here. It feeds your soul. One would think that we would have learned by now. Both Jeroboam and Rehoboam did what was good for themselves and not what was good for the people. Hello. How many public servants do we have in office today are doing what is good for the people? A government of the people and by the people and for the people is what the Constitution says. But how many of them are building their own kingdom? How many of them go into public office as paupers and get wealthy, multimillionaires? One of them is moving out of California and buying a $20 million home in Florida. They better enjoy it, because if they don't know Jesus Christ, their home is going to be hot as hell one day. It's going to be flames. How sad it is that we see two leaders here that's doing what's good for themselves and not what's good for the people. They call themselves public servants. Are they serving the public today? Rehoboam, Solomon's son, was harsh and did not listen to the people. Jeroboam, he's going to establish new high places of worship to keep the people from traveling back to Jerusalem, the place that God has established his temple. Both of them are heading in the wrong direction. Both actions will backfire on them, and they will draw Israel into a backslidden state. And that's what's happening with America today. We're in a backslidden condition. We have on our currency one nation under God. Are we truly one nation under God? We have taken God's word and twisted it and perverted it. Again, I don't have time to lay out a list of what we've done to God's word, but I've got news for you. Judgment is coming. That's why, if I only get an hour with you on Wednesday, an hour with you on Sunday, I have got to give you the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Real soul food. The milk, the meat, and the manna of God's word. Why? Because I've shared this with you before. I'm going to receive a stricter judgment than you are. Why? Because that's what God's word says. Not many should teach the word, because you will receive a stricter judgment. And guess what? I do not want to stand before a holy God one day and be accused of defamation of character. I read it as it is. I expound on it as it is. I don't have to sensationalize God's word. If he can speak through a donkey, he can speak through anybody. And he did through Balaam's donkey. And so here we see Rehoboam's actions are going to split the nation. Jeroboam's moves will turn the people from God. How sad. They had just come from 40 years of God's blessings upon the nation of Israel when King Solomon was in office, but Solomon got drawn away by the world and the flesh and the devil. How sad. He couldn't control his flesh. And here we see that the result, the end result, the nation will be split and the people will turn from God. Wow. Before we move on, listen very closely. Good leaders, godly leaders, always put the best interests of the people above their own. I repeat, good leaders, godly leaders, always put the best interests of the people above their own. That's what it means to be a public servant. We're to serve the public. How many times have I read to you in Scripture what God says about a servant? You know, many people belittle servants. Many people put them down, walk all over servants. But Jesus himself said, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the servant of all. And there wasn't one person that's ever walked this planet that was a bigger servant than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So what should we be doing? What should these guys have been doing? How sad. Making selfish decisions. Decisions with them in mind. You've heard me say the number one song in hell will be, I did it my way. We need to do it God's way, not my way. My way, 40 years ago, took the highway. His will be done. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, we need to do his will, not our will. God has given you and I a free will and a free won't. And it's up to you what you do with the will or the won't. And as believers filled with the Holy Spirit, our desire should be to please God. And you know what happens when you please God? He just pours out his blessings in abundance upon your life. And if you are a true servant, you will always keep the welfare of others in mind. Others minded. I've shared with you many times, it's either others, that you're others minded, or you can put a B in front of that word and it's bothers. Do people bother you? Do people irritate you? We should be others minded. I'm sure glad that Jesus doesn't get irritated like we do. You talk about long suffering and patient and kindness and gentleness and meekness and self-control. That's who Jesus Christ was. And if we are his children, his representatives, we are to conduct ourselves in the same way. Long suffering, not short-fused. And we blame our being short-fused on, well, you know, I was born this way, whatever it might be. No, you're just a sinner. And I think it's so important that the interest of others are always above our own. That's what it means to be a godly leader. Sadly enough, this division of the kingdom is going to last for centuries. Solomon had no idea the damage he was going to cause by allowing the people to be led into idolatry. Verse 18. Then King Rehoboam, son Adoram, who was in charge of the revenues, but all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. Wow. And so Israel had been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam, the servant, had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over Israel. There was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. Now it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam, who was the servant, had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over all Israel. And there was none who followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. And when Rehoboam, who is Solomon's son, came to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against the house of Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Notice, but the word of God came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, who is Solomon's son, the son of Solomon, the king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the word of the Lord and turned back according to the word of the Lord. How sad it is that the people obeyed the word of God, but the leadership didn't. We have the same problem in America today in many places. There are a lot of Christians, born-again Christians, filled with the Holy Spirit, that love the Lord and love his word and walk in obedience to the word of God, but yet we put ungodly people in leadership. How sad. And yet on our currency it says, one nation under God. And folks, we're either going to be one nation under God or we're going to be one nation under. The only way. It's not a democracy. It's a theocracy. Theocracy means we are governed by God. And you know what? If you've been a Christian any length of time, you've read the Word of God, you know what God's Word does. Man, this book is filled with wisdom and knowledge and insight so that you and I can live lives that are blessed, overflowing with the Holy Spirit, and be blessed of God and walk close to God. But look what has happened in America today. How sad. We have places we call churches that are not even close to being a church. God's been excommunicated. He's been kicked out. Yeah. How sad. Many of them don't even open the Bible. I've been to some of them. When Tina and I, when our marriage was a wreck and our lives were a wreck and we were trash, you've heard our testimony, we went to churches looking to find the truth. I look back now and Jesus Christ wasn't in these churches. They didn't teach chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. And you look around, these people all dressed up in suits and ties, they look like they're baptized in pickle juice.
Good morning.
Wow, who would want that? But yet, finally, one day, we walked into this church called Calvary Chapel, West Covina. It was a converted Safeway store that they made into a church. They had four services on Sunday, 7:30, 9:30, 11:30, 1:30, packed out every service, tens of thousands of people. Pastor Raul Reese spoke broken English, but you know what he did? He taught through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. He would give altar calls and people just fled to the front. He was giving people the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where Tina and I got saved. She went there 2 years before I did. I was happy she went there. Oh, she needs it being married to me. You know what's crazy? I would come home. I was working for Coors Beer, the Adolph Coors Company, and I would come home in my company vehicle, and, you know, my condition wasn't good. I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was baptized in distilled spirits. And I would walk in the front door. She would be with her girlfriends, and they would be praying. Later on, I found out they were praying for me. And I would walk in and shut the door and go to bed, and I would lay down in the bed, and the bed would spin. Crazy. But what had happened is she ended up in a church that taught the Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. She became born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And instead of divorcing me, which she had every right to do, she prayed for me. And 2 years later, guess what? At Calvary Chapel West Covina, I headed forward and I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And our lives and our marriage have not been the same. The first 7 years I put her through hell. And guess what? We just celebrated. What do we got? 47 years now. Yeah, because of what Jesus Christ has done. And so here we see selfish people, division. And it lasted for centuries. You know what? God's word will be fulfilled, whether we believe it or not. Every cross T, every dot of I, every yacht, and every tittle will be fulfilled. And God is going to fulfill his word. And here we see God's word will always come to pass. God knows the beginning and the end. And thank you, Jesus. Here's more proof. Verse 15 tells us that this turn of events, this split, was a fulfillment of God's word. Exactly. Yeah. The king did not listen to the people. The turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Every bit of this book is going to be fulfilled. Every cross T, every dotted I is given by the inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed, and it's going to come to pass. And if you've been a Christian any length of time and read the Word of God, you can see where we are prophetically. And we are so close to the return of Jesus Christ. Like every day, I'm just blown away more and more and more. And as I've said many times, don't buy green bananas. You won't get to see them get ripe because Jesus Christ is coming that soon. And verse 15 tells us that there was a split. The Bible says just before the return of Jesus Christ, there will be a great falling away. When God says great, he means great. And there's going to be a falling away. Look around. Look what's going on in America today. Is there a revival going on? Mm-mm. There's a falling away. People living in fear. My Bible tells me that faith and fear cannot dwell in the same place. If you're filled with faith and full of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we have nothing to fear. Absolutely nothing whatsoever. We know the rest of the story. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. At this point, the people now are turning against Rehoboam, Solomon's son. Rehoboam sent Adoram, his cruel taskmaster, over the congregation to bring the Israelites under subjection. And what do they do? Look at verse 18. King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was in charge of the revenues, to all Israel and stoned him with stones, and he died. And therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. He wanted to go and wipe those turkeys out. It was then that they made Jeroboam, the servant, their king. Yet only Judah followed him, the two northern tribes. They had a house divided. They had a kingdom that was split now. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, tries to stop their revolt by declaring war on Judah. But then he withdraws his attack with 180,000 men as the man of God, Shemaiah, gave a divine command of God not to go to war against their own brethren, the house of Israel. And that's what we're going to see here in a moment. Man, this time Rehoboam obeys the word of God. He tells him to go back, to retreat. This is what he should have done in the first place with a godly counsel of the elders, but he rejected the elders' counsel. He obeys God's word and turns back according to the word of the Lord here. God had foretold a split, and God is always going to fulfill his word as he always does. There's a split, a house divided, and God makes sure that it is without bloodshed. They had turned their back on God. God had every right to judge them. And look what he does. He has grace and love and mercy upon them. And he keeps them from going to war and wiping out their brethren. Verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. And he went out from there and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore, the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set up one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And now this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. He made shrines in the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. That's a no-no. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. So he did it at Bethel, sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel he installed the priest of the high places, which he had made. And so he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month of which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. Wow. And so notice what happens here. Did you notice all of the personal pronouns in verses 25 to 33? He. Jeroboam took it upon himself. He established shrines. He made calves of gold. You know, the Bible warns about calves. God tells us decaf. Anyway, he made priests. And we know that the priests were to come from the tribe of Levi only. He made sacrifices. He did. He made offerings to on the altars, all of which he devised in his own heart, as we see in verse 26 and 33. His lie was so that they didn't have to travel a long way to Jerusalem to worship, that they should obey him. Got worship again. Let's all stand. No, just kidding. To obey Jeroboam was to disobey God. God very clearly said that they were to worship in Jerusalem. We're to obey God rather than man. And how sad, there he is, man, leading the people, and he's the one leading them in pagan worship. We're to obey God. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. How do we know how to worship God? Right here in his word, he tells us. Those who worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not all about the outward actions and jumping up and down and running down, up and down the aisles. God looks upon the heart. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And God tells us when we come before him, we're to have a broken and a contrite spirit before him. All pride should be removed. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. And it's so important not to draw attention to ourselves. Again, 32 and 33. Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th of the month, eighth month, like the feast that was in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar. He was doing it instead of the priest. So he did it at Bethel, sacrificing the calves that he had made. God warns about that. They were sacrificing to inanimate objects, calves. Imagine that. God says, decaf. No, you guys are still asleep. Sacrificing to the calves that he had made. And at Bethel, he installed the priest of the high places, which he had made. The priests were to come from the tribe of Levi. Because it was in their genes. Couldn't resist. And here he appoints priests from other tribes, which he had made. And so he made offerings on the altar, verse 33, which he had made at Bethel. On the 15th day of the eighth month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart. And he ordained a feast for the children of Israel and offered sacrifices on the altar and burned incense. Wow. So we look at even verses 32 and 33. There's nine personal pronouns there. Yeah, it was him, all about him. I get irritated at times. When people refer to Calvary Chapel Palm Desert as my church, this is not my church. No, this is the Lord's church. No nail prints, hands or feet. This is Jesus Christ's church, and we conduct ourselves as he commands us to conduct ourselves. The word, fellowship, gathering together, breaking of bread, communion, that's what God tells us to do in his church. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. I love the Lord. I have the privilege of feeding his sheep, the milk, the meat, the manna of God's word. And I think it's so important that we get out of the way. This is not man's church. Here we see in scripture here tonight, man was running his ministry. That's why they're in a backslidden condition, Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And so we see here that they were not conducting God's church in a godly manner. And so Jeroboam, again, is running the show, sacrificing, all of these things. And, you know, I counted over nine personal pronouns between verse 31 and 33. He. It's all about him. How sad. Chapter 13. Going to pick up the pace a little. I've only got 3 hours left here, so I better get going. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord. and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. So it shall come to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar of Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. Check this out. Then his hand, which he stretched out toward him, withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar was also split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. This is some heavy stuff. We see a prophet of God who cries out against what was going on here, this pagan worship by King Jeroboam, Solomon's son. And how sad it is here that, you know, that the altar splits apart. That's some heavy stuff. And not only that, his hand that he stretched out to have him arrested was withered. He couldn't even pull it back to himself. Pretty heavy stuff here. And look at the grace of God from the man of God. He prays for the man, and the man's hand is restored. And so the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself. I'll give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go in it with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water from this place. For it was commanded to me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came. And so he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel. It's heavy stuff. And you see what's happening now. You know, King Jeroboam thought he had all this power. And here a man of God shows up. Twice we read that he's a man of God, a man of the Lord, sent by the word of the Lord. And he cries out against the pagan worship, and he cries out against the pagan king. And even to the point where the man's arm, his hand is withered. But look at the grace of God. He begs him to restore him, and he does. But look at verse 6. He says, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God. How sad it is. Here he is, the king of Israel, God's people. And he refers to the Lord as his Lord, the other guy's Lord, the man of God's Lord. How sad it is that someone would be in a leadership position in God's house and not be a believer. Folks, one of the main problems with America today is we have leaders in God's house that are not men of God. Jesus said, you must be born again and you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, there are people in America, unfortunately today, that are in pulpits that aren't even saved. They're not born again. They're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said through Paul, not many should teach, for you shall receive a stricter judgment. And there's a tremendous responsibility. There's tremendous judgment that comes upon those who represent God in his pulpit. This is not my pulpit. This is the Lord's pulpit. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. And the best thing I can do is to give out the milk and the meat and the manna of God's word to God's sheep. And it's up to you what you do with it. And here we see, you know, what happens when someone comes against God's servant. Here he asked that he would pray to the Lord his God, and that his hand would be restored. And so what does he do? He prays for him. Wow. How do we respond when the unbelieving world comes against us and takes a hit we take a hit for the Lord? Do we respond with grace and love and mercy, or do we respond in the flesh? And here, the man of God responded in the spirit. Not only that, the guy wants him to come to his home and refresh himself and get a reward, but that's not why this man of God was in ministry, not for the rewards. We're going to be rewarded one day in heaven, not on this earth. Yeah, God blesses us here on earth in many different ways, but you should not be in ministry today to attain worldly possessions and worldly things. And you look at those that went before us. You read in the New Testament all of those, of the disciples that served the Lord and where they went and what they did. You look at the trials and the tests and the troubles and the tribulations that the Apostle Paul went through. Paul wasn't a health and wealth and prosperity guy. Paul had nothing many times but the shirt on his back. Many times that shirt on his back was over lacerations that were given to him for standing on the Word of God. The Bible says that Paul was marred more than any man. Yeah, he was beaten to a pulp at times, dragged out of town, left for dead. So how many takers for ministry in Paul's day? Not very many. And look what we've done to ministry today. It's all about health and wealth and prosperity. That's not what ministry is all about. Ministry is all about proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit to a world and a people that are perishing. That's what the pastor's responsibility is. That's what his job description is. Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. God will not be mocked. And we see here with this guy, King Jeroboam, God will not be mocked. Verse 11. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his son came and told him of all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. And they also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. Then he said to his son, saddle a donkey for me. And so they saddled a donkey for him, and he rode on it and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you nor go in with you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. Notice, he said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And the angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you in your house, and that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Uh-oh. Notice, now it happened, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which your Lord, your God, commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water. Your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. Whoa. So it was, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse. And there men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road and the lion standing by the corpse. And then he went and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient to the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord had delivered him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to him. Wow. God gave him strict orders. God says what he means and means what he says. And how sad. The man was given strict orders to not eat or drink anything on his mission. And what does he do? He dies and he's torn into pieces because he listened to a false prophet, a liar. And what happens? A lion got him for lying. Bottom line, you guys are awake. Okay. Bottom line, follow God's word. No matter what you see, no matter what you hear, a lot of times what we see doesn't line up with what God's word tells us to do. We need to be very, very careful to be obedient to God's word and not the things of man. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, these things can all lead us astray. And that's why we don't walk by feeling, we walk by faith, faith in the word of God. And if God says to do something, do it. That's where Nike stole that, their saying, just do it. God said that a long time ago. And we as believers, when God tells you to do something, my friend, my brother and sister in Christ, just do it. The best thing to do, and we don't walk by feeling, we don't walk by sight. We walk by what God tells us to do. And there are many things that God blesses us with that from a human perspective look impossible. But my Bible tells me, with God, all things are possible and nothing is impossible. How can your faith grow if you can figure out God? Well, I'm just going to do this because I know God wants me to do this. But you know what? When God tells you to do the impossible, that's when your faith really gets strengthened. You ever had God put you in a situation where you're thinking, there's no human way this could ever happen? But by faith, you do it and you're just blown away. I've had that happen so many times in my life. You've heard some of our testimonies from when we went to Vermont. You know what? Just walk by God's word. Walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling. And that's why I have a problem with these feel-good churches where it's all about feeling. Nothing more than feelings, you know? It's like, come on. It's all about faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. And we see what happens here. We need to follow God's word, people. Every yacht, every tittle, every cross T, every dotted I. We need to measure everything by the word of God. Disregard what others may claim. Oh, I had a message from God. I had a revelation from God. But you know what? If these things contradict the word of God, you need to get out of that place. So important. And Jeroboam kept on, and Jeroboam persisted in his evil deeds, and this is eventually going to lead to the destruction of his dynasty. And God's going to take him out. So where did I leave off here? Here, verse 11. I'm sorry, 29. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God. Oh, no, it wasn't 29, was it? Back up a little bit. 27. Do I hear 26? Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it's a man of God who was disobedient to the word of God. Therefore the Lord had delivered him to the lion and was torn and has torn him and killed him according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him. And he spoke to his son, saying, saddle a donkey for me. So they saddled it. Then he went and found his corpse thrown on the road, and the donkey and the lion standing by the corpse. And the lion had not eaten the corpse, nor torn the donkey. And the prophet took up the corpse of the man of God, laid it on the donkey, and brought it back. And so the old prophet came to the city and to mourn and to bury him. Then he laid the corpse in his own tomb, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And so it was after he had buried him, that he spoke to his son, saying, when I am dead, then bury me in the tomb where the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried out by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the shrines on the high places which are in the cities of Samaria will surely come to pass. Verse 33. After this event, Jeroboam did not turn from his evil way. How sad. You would think that would have changed him. But again, made priests from every class of people, from the high places, whoever wished, he consecrated them, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing was the sin of the house of Jeroboam, as to exterminate and destroy it from the face of the earth. Pretty heavy stuff. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Father, that you show us how important obedience is to you, to be a God pleaser and not a man pleaser, to obey your word no matter how it feels or how things look. Your word, Lord, is absolutely perfect. And Lord, when you tell us to do something, our good is always in mind. Lord, you want to bless your people. You want to give us your very, very best. And how sad it is at times, like we've seen here tonight, with these two leaders that were drawn away on the wrong path. Help us, Lord, as Christians, to stay on that straight and narrow path which leads to life, and life more abundantly. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would equip us with what we need. Lord, that you would give us a hunger and a love for your word like never before. And not only would we hear it and bury it in our hearts, but help us, Lord, to put shoe leather on it. Help us to walk it out. Help us to be doers of your word and not just hearers deceiving ourselves. And Lord, we even see tonight with these two leaders, Lord, they wanted to do it their way instead of your way. Your way is always best, and you always have our best interests at heart, Lord. And so help us in the world in which we live to do what is good and not evil. One day we shall see you face to face, and we look forward to that day when you tell us face to face, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. And what a glorious day that'll be, Lord. We're tired. We need rest. It's a battle out there. And I pray as your children that we would keep the full armor of God on, always moving forward. The armor's on the front because we're always to be moving forward, not looking to the right or to the left, but straight ahead. And one day it will be wonderful to hear those words. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. In the meantime, there's a battle going on. We pray for our nation. We pray for the leaders. God, bring them to their knees. Bring them to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Save their souls, I pray. There's so much going on, and Lord, time is running short. And one day, very, very soon, the next thing to be fulfilled prophetically is the harpazo, the rapture of the church. And your people are going to be caught out of here, and we shall see you face to face. So help us, Lord, take other people with us, would you please? Give us your heart, give us your love. Break our heart for the lost, I pray. As many who shared the word with us shared it with a broken heart because they could see that we were headed in the wrong direction. So help us, Lord, to be your instruments in your hand. Help us to be the least in the kingdom of heaven, the servants of all. And you tell us that's the greatest place that anyone can be, is to be a servant in the house of the Lord. We love you. We thank you for everyone here tonight. Those watching on YouTube, thank you for the worship. Thank you for the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.